Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. In this series, Pastor Rick takes an in-depth look at God's provision for you, from His constant presence to His purpose for your life and His preparation for a place for you in heaven. In just a bit, we're going to tell you about the Verses of Hope Scripture Box, a beautifully adorned gold vegan leather box filled with multicolored, artfully illustrated, and inspiring scripture cards. It's perfect for filling your mind with God's Word. And you can take a sneak peek right now while you listen to today's broadcast just by going to PastorRick.com or texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's teaching. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called How to Live a Joy-Filled Life.
The fifth key to being joyful is use my life to help others. That's the you in joyful. Use my life to help others. Now, Paul was joyful because he was unselfish. He invested his life in others. And if you want to have continuous joy in your life, here is the secret. Give your life away in helping others. Stop focusing on your little puny problems and aches and pains and start focusing on helping others. Become other-centered, and the more you give your life away, Jesus said, the more you find it. The more unselfish you become, the more joyful person you're going to be. The more self-centered you are, the more miserable, cranky, self-piteous type person you're going to be. Paul is in prison, and even in prison, he's thinking about other people. Chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I love you and I long to see you, for you are my joy and the reward for my work." Paul's joy was the people he had invested his life in. Paul's joy were the people that he cared about, that he'd led to Christ, that he'd helped grow. He says, "You're my joy." Probably the most famous line of all of Shakespeare's play is the phrase, "to be or not to be," right? And what is that from? It's from Hamlet. Good. Yeah, this group is a little more intelligent than the last service. We had to sing, "Don't know much about geography," in the last service. Yes, it's from Hamlet. And it's Hamlet's famous soliloquy. Hamlet is talking to himself. The Prince of Denmark is saying, "To be or not to be, that is the question." You know what he's talking about? Suicide. Suicide. He was considering taking his life. And he's saying, "I don't know whether I'm going to take my life or go on living in pain. Should I live or should I die? Should I live or should I die? To be or not to be?" It's interesting. Paul said the exact same thing in Philippians chapter 3 for the exact opposite reason. The exact opposite reason of the Prince of Denmark. Hamlet's saying, "I don't know what's worse, living or dying. I don't know what's worse. Which is more painful, for me to go on in my pain or for me to die in pain?" And he said, "I don't know which one's worse." In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says the exact opposite. He says, "I don't know which is better, to go to heaven or to stay here and serve people in the name of Christ. Which one's better?" It's the same dilemma. It's a different point. And guess which one had the joy? Paul, because he was using his life to help others. In Philippians 3, 21 to 24, it's not the wrong passage there. He says this in the Living Bible. "For me, living means opportunity for Christ. And dying, well, that's better yet. But if living will give me more opportunities to win people to Christ, then I really don't know which is better, to live or to die." He says, "Sometimes I want to live, and other times I don't, for I long to go and be with Christ. But the fact is, I can be of more help to you by staying." Now, how could death be possibly be a benefit to Paul? Because he knew where he was going. He was a friend of God. And Paul says, "Either way, I win. On earth, my purpose is to live for God. When I die, I get to go be with God." Get this. He has a purpose for living, and he has a purpose for dying. You can't get a man down who has that. That's his secret of joy. Purpose for living, purpose for dying. Do you? Do you have a purpose for living? Do you have a purpose for dying? If you don't, it's no wonder you don't have any joy in your life. Because you haven't yielded yourself to God's purpose, and you haven't got to know His Son, so you're not ready to live, and you're not ready to die. You're miserable. Paul says, when I use my life to help others, it brings joy in my life. And so either way I win, whether I live or whether I die. Finally, Paul's last joy builder, the L in joyful stands for learn to be content. Learn to be content. In Philippians 4:11, Paul says, I have learned, circle that, to be content whatever the circumstance. It wasn't natural. He had to learn it. Now, of course, it's easy to be content when you're living on Easy Street, but Paul's life was not easy. It was very difficult. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul tells us a little of his biography, and he says this, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received 40 lashes minus one. In other words, I was whipped 39 times, 5 different experiences. Now, add that up. 5 times 39, you can figure out how many scars were on the back of Paul. 5 times 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been in constant danger. I've labored and toiled. I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst. I've often gone without food. I've even been cold and gone without clothing. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressures of my concern for all the churches. In spite of all this, Paul says, no matter what happens, rejoice. In all situations, rejoice. In the Lord, always rejoice. And he says, I've learned to be content. Here's the bottom line. If you don't get anything else, get this. Joy is a decision. Joy is a decision. You are as joyful as you choose to be. And if you're discouraged today, it's because you're choosing to be discouraged. You can choose to be joyful because there are many things you can be joyful about. And God is saying here, if you learn to be content and you choose to make the right decisions, you can be joyful. You see, we get caught up in when and then thinking. When this happens in my life, then I'll be happy. When I get married, then I'll be happy. When I get a job, then I'll be happy. When I graduate, then I'll be happy. When, you know, fill in the blank, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. No, you won't. You are as happy as you choose to be. You are as joyful as you choose to be, because joy is a choice. It's a choice. Now, some of you are facing some not so happy circumstances right now. And some of you, you're having to swallow a bitter pill right now, financially or physically or in a relationship. And you think, there's nothing in my life worth being joyful about. And you say, how in the world, how can I be joyful when everything is wrong in my life? Well, let me tell you two reasons. Look at the last two verses on your outline. Number one, I can always be joyful no matter what happens because I know God is in control. Paul says, I'm going to keep on being glad. Now remember, he's in prison awaiting execution. I'm going to keep on being glad. For I know that as you pray for me and as the Holy Spirit helps me, this is all going to turn out for my good. He says, I got a couple encouragements here. He says, you're praying for me and the Holy Spirit's helping me. But he says, here's the real issue. God sees it all. God knows it all. God cares about it all. God's in control of it all. God will use it for my good, and God will give me the power I need. So what am I worried about? Nothing. Now, granted, this isn't the way Paul had planned it. Paul wanted to go to Rome, rent the Colosseum, and have a Billy Graham crusade with him being Billy Graham. And that's what he wanted to do, to share God's love with all of the Roman Empire. Instead, he goes with his hands and feet shackled and put in a dungeon for 2 years with a 24-hour guard. Well, I'm sure he shared Jesus Christ with every one of those guards. If they changed every 4 hours, that's a couple thousand guards over a 2-year period. Who do you think was the real prisoner? Yeah. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. You're not going anywhere.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to connect with Pastor Rick online, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. You can also sign up for his free daily email devotional. That's PastorRick.com.
In order to live for God in the most meaningful way possible, we need to have His Word deep down in our hearts. Right now, we'd like to tell you about the Verses of Hope Scripture Box. This beautiful gold vegan leather box is filled with artfully illustrated and inspiring scripture cards, along with well-designed blank cards for your personal notes and observations. This resource will help you memorize God's Word and will daily restore your sense of hope. The Verses of Hope Gold Scripture Box will help you get on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with His Word. And because this stylishly designed study tool looks so great, you'll also be adding a bit of flair to your living space. We'll send it to you to say thanks for your gift to support Daily Hope. Request yours today by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And remember, when you sign up for convenient automated monthly giving, we'll also send you an added special gift to welcome you to Pastor Rick's Partner in Hope family. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world.
Once again, here's Rick.
Paul wanted to go to Rome, rent the Colosseum, and have a Billy Graham crusade, with him being Billy Graham. And that's what he wanted to do, to share God's love with all of the Roman Empire. Instead, he goes with his hands and feet shackled and put in a dungeon for 2 years with a 24-hour guard. Well, I'm sure he shared Jesus Christ with every one of those guards. If they changed every 4 hours, that's a couple thousand guards over a 2-year period. Who do you think was the real prisoner? Yeah. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. You're not going anywhere. So Paul had a captive audience. The Bible tells us that even as a result of some of these praetorian guards took the good news back, and even members of Nero's own family became believers. That's what you call a chain reaction. And then, not only that, he did something else while he was in prison. Oh, yeah, he wrote most of the New Testament. Aren't you glad God made Paul sit still in prison? We wouldn't have the New Testament. If he'd gone out and Mr. Peripatetic Evangelist had been traveling all over, he would have never slowed down long enough to write what we now know are the inspired New Testament books. Paul had a plan, but God had a better plan. And Paul says, you know, I trust God's plan better than my own. Therefore, I am full of joy because I know that God has a better plan. And he says, I also know that God's going to write the final chapter. Look at the last verse. I'm sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ comes back again. We get so frustrated and discouraged because we don't know what God's doing in our lives, but God knows. And what we need to do is trust Him for the things we can't see how they're going to turn out, because we know that what God starts, He finishes. And God has your best interest at heart. Therefore, no matter what happens, you can be joyful, because what He starts, He finishes. Now, you may think that joy is just some kind of characteristic for naturally upbeat, cheerful kind of people, that your personality type isn't the joyful type. Well, you're wrong. Joy is a choice. When I think about these six joy builders that Paul gives us in Philippians, I think of my parents, my mom and my dad, who are now both in heaven. But any of you who knew Jimmy knew that he was a perpetually cheerful person. He just didn't have that depression switch on his life. And all of his life, he was basically a very joyful person. Why was that? Well, he just followed these joy builders. He never spent an ounce of time regretting the past. I never once heard him talk about that, or even worrying about the future, for that matter. But he yielded his life to God and God's purpose. He focused on what was good, not what was bad. He certainly used his life, gave his life in helping other people. And he learned to be content no matter what the circumstances. His life motto was, I will do the best I can with what I have for Jesus Christ today. I must have heard him say that 150 times in his life. I'll do the best I can with what I have for Jesus Christ today. The last week of Dad's life was by far the most difficult week because he lost his mind. And in that last week, as the cancer began to take over, he went delusional. And he was awake 23 out of about 24 hours of the day. And so we had to be constantly with him at his bedside, keeping him down so he couldn't hurt himself. And so for an entire week, he just talked delusionally. You know, this dream sleep with your eyes wide awake where you just talk what's coming out. Now, you can learn a lot about a person by listening to when they're talking delusionally. And all of the consciousness is not holding anything back in. And as I listened to my dad talk for the last week of his life, he never talked about movies. He never talked about the books he'd read. He never talked about his hobbies. He certainly didn't talk about bitterness. There was no bitterness or anger that came out. Not even any crankiness. Not even any until the last bit. He didn't talk about hidden secrets or closet skeletons or guilt or regrets. This was a guy who was dying with a clear conscience. He was very clear about that. What he talked about the last week of his life in this delusional state was the things that mattered most to him. He talked about building churches. As many of you know, my dad was a builder, you know, hammer and nails kind of guy, hand-on kind of guy. He built in his lifetime over 100 church buildings all around the world, Africa, Asia, Europe, the Ukraine, Israel, Guatemala, Alaska. And so in that last week, he talked about building. We got to get that corner set, and we got to fix that joist, and we've got to, repair that socket and build those stairs. And he talked about organizing people and say, you take that team over there. And, you know, he would just be in his dreams, be planning out and talking the building of churches. But on Thursday night, he became very passionate about one thing, more than anything else he'd ever talked about. And as we were sitting in that room that night, and Kay was sitting there, and Alyssa, my niece, Pastor Tom's daughter, we were sitting in the room, and Dad tried to sit up in bed, and Kay kind of gently pushed him back down and said, no, Jimmy, you need to lay down. And he said this, gotta save one more for Jesus. Gotta save one more for Jesus. He tried to sit up in bed, no, you gotta lay down. And he became very persistent, almost stubborn. Gotta save one more for Jesus. And here's his body dying, and he's trying to get up a little bit more strength than in this state. Say, gotta save one more for Jesus. Alyssa and Kay estimated that in the next hour, he probably said that phrase 150 times. Gotta save one more for Jesus. Because that's what he was passionate about. And I remember putting my head down on the side of the bed and tears were coming down my eyes. And my dad reached up his frail hand and he put it on my head and he said, save one more for Jesus. Save one more for Jesus. I intend for that to be the theme of the rest of my life. I invite you to make it the theme of your life. Because there's nothing more important than getting people out of hell and into heaven. There is nothing you can do with your life that will make more of a difference for eternity than sharing people the love of God and getting them out of a Christless eternity into heaven. It will be more important than any skyscraper you build. It will be more important than any invention you invent, any recipe you cook up, any hobby, any pleasure. It will be more important than anything else you do because it's going to make a difference for eternity. You were made to know God. You were made to have a relationship with Him. You were made for His purpose, and you were made to share the love of Christ with other people. Do that, and you will have joy. That is the secret. Let's bow our heads. Father, there are many people here today who have lost their joy. Some of them have lost it due to regrets and guilt or grief or grudges. Some have lost their joy due to resentment. Some here have lost their joy because of their overwhelming worries. And there are some here today who've lost their joy because they have no purpose in life. I pray that today, that they will yield themselves to your plan and your purpose for their lives and begin to use the rest of their lives in getting to know you, fulfilling your purpose, and sharing your love. Would you pray the most dangerous prayer? Would you pray, God, use me? Use me. Would you pray, I want the rest of my life to be the best of my life. And I'm not going to live for me. For me to live is Christ. If you've never invited Christ in your life, say, Jesus Christ, come into my heart right now. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody, and why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. But first, you know, in order to live for God in the most meaningful way possible, we need to have His Word deep down in our hearts. Right now, we'd like to tell you about the Verses of Hope Scripture Box. This beautiful gold vegan leather box is filled with artfully illustrated and inspiring scripture cards, along with well-designed blank cards for your personal notes and observations. This resource will help you memorize God's Word and will daily restore your sense of hope. The Verses of Hope Gold Scripture Box will help you to get on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with His Word. And because this stylishly designed study tool looks so great, you'll also be adding a bit of flair to your living space. We'll send it to you to say thanks for your gift to support Daily Hope. And when you sign up for convenient automated monthly giving, we'll also send you an added special gift to welcome you to Pastor Rick's Partner in Hope family. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you about today's exciting opportunity.
No matter where you're listening to this program right now around the world, I want to thank you for your support of Daily Hope. Your prayers and your financial contributions are literally helping people all over the world learn about the hope that we have in Jesus. Did you know that in just this short time, people from over 200 countries have visited the Daily Hope website? And we have listeners all throughout the United States, India, Africa, South America, Australia, Korea, Hong Kong, Europe, all over the Middle East. In fact, right now, someone's listening to this broadcast and getting to know Jesus because of your prayer and because of your financial support. So I just wanted to say thank you. Your support means so much to me personally, and I want you to know that I take your trust very seriously. Every single dollar you donate to Daily Hope goes right back into the ministry. You know that I don't take a salary from Daily Hope. You're never going to hear about Kay and me owning a private jet or some boat, because we want to invest as much as possible into God's kingdom, because that's what's going to matter for eternity. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth. And I believe Jesus meant it when he said that. Now, we want Daily Hope to reach more and more people. So I would appreciate you prayerfully continuing your support of this ministry. Would you pray about it? Here's the prayer I want you to pray. God, what do you want to give through me? I would love to have you as a partner in hope.
And remember, when you sign up for the convenient automated monthly giving, we'll also send you an added special gift to welcome you to Pastor Rick's Partner in Hope family. Thanks in advance for your support. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope. Or visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.